I greet you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and the priest-king that had been prophesied many times in the Old Testament. Today is a special day, and I'm glad that we can gather together on a Sunday, but I'm also glad that it's Palm Sunday. So I want to especially remember that. And I also have been missing the last couple of weeks, both being in Oklahoma and then in Michigan. And in between, my wife and I were also blessed to be at the ministers' meetings, and that was a rich time, both in teaching and in the gathering, the interactions. So certainly has been good to be there. And after we were there, we went across the line into Michigan to visit our daughter, husband, and grandchildren. So that was extra special as well. But it's really good to be back. So today, as I said, I want to pay some attention to the time of Palm Sunday. And I've entitled the message, Hosanna, Save Me Now, from John 12:12-16. And so to start off with, I'd like to invite all the children that care to come forward and gather in the front, and we'll have a little children's lesson. You can come a little closer. Thank you all for coming. Looks like some more are coming yet. You can come a little, move up a little bit, make a little room there. So do you children like this time of the year? What do you like about this time of the year?
The flowers.
The flowers, that's right, yes? The water?
The weather.
The weather, that's right. What do you like about this weather?
It's nice for playing outside.
Yes, indeed. We're all enjoying spring, aren't we? You know, anything else that you appreciate about the spring? What?
It's just a nice weather.
Yes, it is. Certainly is. Have you been listening to the birds singing? Oh my, it's so nice to get up in the morning and hear them singing. So let's sing. Do you know that song, The Birds Upon the Treetop? Some of you do, don't you? Okay, let's help each other. The birds up on the treetop sing their song. The angels chant their chorus all day long. The flowers in the garden blend their hues. So why shouldn't you praise him too? I remember Mrs. Cowan used to have us sing that fairly frequently in the first grade. And now I'm thinking about the birds on the treetops, and sometimes they're in the lawn, and they're singing their songs, and the flowers, I mean, right now we've got irises and lilacs and tulips just full bloom, and some others that have already passed, and I'll bet you've had some of the same.
Birds
on your lawn too, yes. So the birds on the treetops remind us that this is a beautiful time of the year. There's a lot of sign of life around. I mean, the grass is turning green, and we all like that. So today is Palm Sunday. Do you know what Palm Sunday is? You don't know what Palm Sunday is? Well, today we'll talk about it. I want to tell you the story of Jesus on Palm Sunday about 2,000 years ago. We read this story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so here, would you all like to just come up here? palm leaf. There you go. There, okay. There you go. Okay, you hand those out back there, okay? You want to take those? Pass them around. I think I need a few more. Anybody else want one? Pass them on back. There's a boy in the back yet. There you go, and another one. We got another one for the young lad back there. Does everybody have one now? Okay. So now if you want to turn my way here, continue on about Palm Sunday. So you keep hold of those little leaves because we're all going to want to use them in a little bit. But so it was a bright morning in Jerusalem that day, and Jesus was coming, and so the people were pretty excited that Jesus is. And he didn't come as a soldier or as a king with golden robes, but he came instead on a donkey. He was riding a small, gentle donkey, and this wasn't a mistake. Yes, ma'am? It was, that's right, it was a colt. Never had been ridden. Because long ago the prophet Zechariah had said, "Look, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." And people ran to see him. And I can imagine that some boys like you boys were maybe climbing the trees so they could get a better view. Does this young man want to have one of these?
Yeah.
You bet. Thank you. All right. Kind of warm. Let's use it as a fan, right? So people ran to see Jesus. Then, guess what? Children grabbed palm branches and waved them in the air like flags, like this. Can you wave them in the air? So children were excited and doing that too. And then one by one, people took off their coats. And they put their coats down on the roadway there in front of Jesus. It was like they were laying out a royal carpet made of clothes and palm branches. Guess what they said? Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the voices grew louder, and happy voices filled the air. There was singing. Okay, let's turn this way now. There was singing and clapping and dancing, and Jesus smiled, and he looked around at the children and the families and at the old people and the young people, and then he just kept riding gently on into Jerusalem. But as you might have expected, not everybody was smiling that day. What's the opposite of smiling?
Frowning.
So some Pharisees, these are important teachers in fancy robes, frowned. And they said, "Tell them to stop shouting." And Jesus looked at them and said something pretty amazing. "If they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." Isn't that something? Even the rocks knew who Jesus was. Now, this wasn't just a parade, children. This was the start of something special. Jesus came not to sit on a throne, but to give his life as a ransom for sins. He came not to fight with swords, but to win hearts with love. He came not to condemn, but to rescue people from their sins. And the people welcomed their rescuer with palm branches and hosannas and shouts of praise and hearts of hope. Now, children, that's the story of the first Palm Sunday. Now, we're having Palm Sunday today. We've got little reminders. You can all take them with you. Did you know that there's also a verse in the Old Testament that talks about this is the day that the Lord has made? And it seems to tie especially to the foretelling of Palm Sunday. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, let's sing that. All right, let's all join together. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Now you can sing that tomorrow because it'll be the day the Lord has made too. But this is especially the day that the Lord has made. It's special because we think back to Jesus and his mission on earth. Yes? You're just fanning me? Thank you. All right. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for children and for their open faces this morning and good behavior. And I pray that you would bless them as they think about the story of Jesus and how that Jesus came to earth to serve people and to give his life a ransom for many. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go back to your seats. You want to go back to your seat, son? So I want to think a little bit about some of the things that lead up to the verses in John 12. Setting the stage. What are the things in the background here? So for many months, the clouds had been gathering over Jerusalem. Jesus focused his attention on Galilee during the early part of his ministry, but he always kept coming back to Jerusalem in Judea for the feasts that would happen various times throughout the year. And each visit seemed to intensify the growing tension between Jesus and the religious establishment. For the Sadducees controlled the temple, and the Pharisees had heavy sway upon the people. Well, the disciples sensed this growing danger. So when Jesus announced that they were going to go to see Mary and Martha in Bethany, just 2 miles away from Jerusalem, Thomas turned to the other disciples and shrugged and said, "Let's go also so that we may die with him." That's found in John 11, verse 16, just the chapter before this text today. And the disciples' fear wasn't irrational or unfounded, because during their last visit, the angry mob had attempted to stone their master. Well, then, after they had visited Martha and Mary, and Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, he gained a new group of followers. However, there were some friends of the Pharisees who perceived that his growing popularity was a threat And they hurried to Jerusalem with the news. You can read that in chapter 11, verse 46. Now let me read for you verses 47 to 50. Sounds pretty serious what I'm reading. Then the chief priests and Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." They felt quite a threat, didn't they? They were afraid they'd lose their place, their position of authority and influence, and also the chance that the nation would collapse or be compromised. Well, then one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider it that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Wow, that's quite a line. Sounds a little bit like a politician that says, "We can expend one to save the many." And that's indeed what he's thinking. And he says, I'm interested in the wording here, that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people. I doubt he had any idea what kind of a prophecy that was. That was exactly what Jesus came to earth to do, was to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so with that, the plot to kill Jesus began. But the religious leaders needed to be cunning. They were afraid to seize him publicly, fearing that the ever-growing multitude would turn against them and revolt. But nothing would provoke the wrath of Rome faster than an insurrection, so they needed to be very careful. Yet, this Galilean posed too great a threat to ignore. He must die. Well, meanwhile, Jesus is hailed as a king. Imagine the religious authorities' seething consternation when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. He deliberately chose to ride a humble foal of a donkey, not only a recognized symbol of peace, but also a glaring reference to the messianic prophecy of Zechariah. So I read for you Zechariah 9, 9 and 10. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." So the religious rulers clearly understood the message that his coming on a donkey sent. In effect, it said, "I'm coming in peace as your Messiah, Israel's promised priest king. Yield your authority to me and let's begin building the new kingdom." Thousands of Jesus' followers responded to the gesture by giving him a welcome reserved for royalty. They lined the road leading to the city. They cheered his name and paved his path with their cloaks and cut palm branches. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us now." With that, let's look at the text. And let's read this responsively. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. And again, this is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Let us sing song or hymn number 177, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. The lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. And that means that Jesus, save us now. And then we notice various references throughout the lyrics of this event. So next I want to go to the Old Testament, and from Psalm 118 we have a reading that I want to have your help on. This is a passage that foretells the coming of Jesus. Everyone knew the tradition because for centuries Jews had recited Psalm 118 and in anticipation of this day. And right now I'm going to read the heart of it. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray thee, O Lord, which save now is that Hosanna. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So let's read this responsively now. We've got to skip from verse 2 to verse 19, but let's read it as scripted here. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness.
I will go with them,
and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now I invite us to sing hymn number 12, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty, which is similar to, This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. Wonderful it is to go through the gates of beauty and with the righteous and gather in the house of the Lord as we are today. And now the next section of Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Might highlight here again that's the Hosanna in verse 25. Save now, I pray, O Lord. Now let's turn to song number 43 and sing the first, third, and fourth, and you may come. This is the day the Lord has made. Quotation from this psalm.
Blessed is the Lord who comes.
So it's special to me on any day of the year to be able to sing, "This is the day the Lord hath made." But it's especially noted today that this is in a psalm that seems to point forward in various ways to the coming of Jesus, and especially the Palm Sunday message here, because of the hosannas, for one thing, and because it also has, I think it's coming up yet, that other quotation, that blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So we move forward. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord and has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So we notice here, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It seems to be very prophetic of Jesus coming in the name of the Lord. So blessed is he, and the people that were gathering when he came, when he entered into Jerusalem, they were quoting this back to him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we notice that you are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you. And give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Again, this is a psalm of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. And then let's sing hymn number 16. O come, loud anthems, let us sing.
Our Lord.
Thank you for that. I invite you all to kneel in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Thank you for these hymn writers that have put these praises together for us to sing. And as we think about the story of Palm Sunday, we notice the intrigue, the challenge. We notice how that Jesus knew to be the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And we notice how that stirred up the religious leaders who felt threatened by his ministry. And we notice also how that they were moved to take action, but in that action, they accomplished your great plan that was known by you and Jesus, that he would need to die to be our Savior and our sacrifice and our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. And we recognize that you are the Lord, and we pray that you could be known by each as God, and that we could all exalt you together. So we give thanks to you, Lord Jesus. You have been so good. And we recognize that your mercy endures forever. So we pray in the holy name of Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen.